Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let us feel the presence of Jack in him who dwells in all beings and in whom all beings exist. How desolate is the city. How lonely is the household now. The fountain has dried up. The lamp is extinguished. Our fire has gone out, and the ashes are scattered on the hearth. For now, the hand of the potter has shattered the vessel that he made. He has covered the face of our beloved and hidden it with a veil. Infinite time has received this hurrying soul, and our love cries out in vain to stay the hand of death. In our gardens, the flowers have withered, and the birds have lost their song. The stars are overcast, because your feet will never be heard again on the threshold, and your eyes have lost their sight. You were with us, and now you have left us alone. Hear now, beloved, hear once more, before you start on your journey, our salutations and farewell. Forgive us now for all you suffered, the pain and the loneliness. Forgive all our angry and impatient thoughts. Forgive us for every failure to love and for every failure to express our love. Forgive us for all you lacked in life and for all you lack in death. Forgive us for the labor that left you weary and for the love that failed to comfort you. Forgive. Now let us tenderly remember the days of your past. Let us not forget any act that you did that was helpful and generous. Kind, courageous, and selfless. It is wonderful indeed to remember the journey that we all made together. You are very holy to us now in the presence of death. Know now how much we love you. Until we too are wrapped in death, may we never forget to send our constant aid through love and prayer. Know that love is stronger than death. Many waters cannot quench it, nor the floods overwhelm it. Your hand is not unclasped from our hand, nor has your name vanished from the life of our hearts. Of this we are certain, our longing and the strength of our love cannot fail to reach you and give you strength under God's will here and hereafter. Rest now, dear one, and be at peace. Then wake and arise and share our prayers now and in the hour of our death and forevermore. Go now and be made one with the company of the saints. Leave all your imperfections behind and no fulfillment of your heart's desire. May the gods of high heaven be your protectors on the path that you tread before us. May the gods of high heaven be your protectors in the dwelling of the righteous. Go forth now, like a happy traveler, to distant lands and lands more distant, onward from light to light, from glory to glory. Go forth by these same paths trodden by men of old, the paths that all must tread, each son of woman, according to his deeds. Death is certain for the born. Rebirth is certain for the dead. But the indwelling God can never be destroyed. Bodies are said to die, but that which possesses the body is eternal. The reality which pervades the universe is indestructible. No one has power to change the changeless. O great and mighty dead, Oh, happy dead, for unnumbered ages the world has been weeping for its dead. Weep not for the dead. Weep rather for the living, for they have yet to die. Worn-out garments are shed by the body. Worn-out bodies are shed by the dweller within the body. New bodies are donned by the dweller like garments. When we consider that which is past and that which shall come hereafter, we see how men reach their end in the ripeness of time. Like the harvests of the field, we see how they come forth again as the harvest comes forth. O terrible dark night, O night of delusion, O night of death, to you also are salutations. We salute thee. And now, beloved, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. From the unreal, O thou, the giver of all blessings, O thou, the fulfiller of all desires, O thou, the doer of all good, to thee are salutations. We salute thee, thee we salute. Now, Jayanti will be singing a song that is Susan's favorite song, and then Jennifer and Daniel will come up and say some words about their father. So, Jayanti, I think you'll all recognize the song when you hear it.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, around me be falling, but he bids me go through this voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells I am his own, and the joy.
come up. Okay. If you stay about that far from the mic.
Oh, got it. Some feedback. Thank you.
You might have to pull it up a little for you.
Well, let me know if you can't hear me. My name is Jennifer Stuhler, and I am Forever Jack's daughter. On behalf of my family, thank you for coming to celebrate the life of my dad with us. My dad had many names. His Indian name, Jugmohan, his American name, Jack. But to us, he was Pop. He often liked to tell the story that when I was born and he was holding me, I looked straight back at him while he was talking because I understood every word he was saying. Even from that moment on, he was the man I would forever look up to. He was a self-made man coming to this country and building a life that is the definition of the American dream. In 1973, at a grocery store, he met my mom, and they began a marriage that spanned 48 years. They built businesses, they raised two children, my brother, Daniel, and I, and they were delighted with the addition of three grandchildren, my three daughters. I know he found so much joy in talking to Haley, my 12-year-old, seeing Layla's beautiful pictures, my 10-year-old, and playing carom and being beat by my 6-year-old Paisley. My dad never met a stranger. He had friends from every corner of the globe, and nothing made him happier than a party with lots of friends and even more food. He never said no to any of our dreams or our passions. He always found a way to say yes. Yes to singing lessons and piano lessons, art classes, horseback riding lessons, choir trips, theater camps, and everything in between. And all things tech, computer, and cars for Daniel. He always told us to chase even our wildest, most exciting dreams because his vision was so big and he knew we could do it. He believed in me first, and that's allowed me to believe in myself. Anyone who knows my dad knows his love of Napoleon Hill, and I'm willing to bet that he's giving you a copy of the book, Think and Grow Rich. My dad was an avid reader and always had a new book or idea to share, but his favorite was always Napoleon Hill. My dad loved to travel, and one of my fondest memories is when he met me in London. He was coming from visiting family and friends in India, and I had just finished singing with a choir. We had competed, and we won the Choir of the World competition in Wales. And together, just the two of us, we traveled our way through France, Switzerland, Belgium, and Spain. We saw shows, we laughed, we talked. And of course we ate, because we both really love food. I know he was so proud of us. Our accomplishments were just as much his as they were ours. Daniel's graduations from Cal Poly and a master's degree earned from UC Santa Cruz, and his unbridled pride when Daniel accepted a software engineering job at Google. His joy at my graduation from the University of Southern California, and then marriage to my husband, Justin, of 15 years. And of course, all the accomplishments and joy that grandchildren bring. But his greatest treasure was my mom. He loved her and knew that his life was better because she was in it. In the later years after the cancer diagnosis, my mom truly became his angel in taking care of all of his health needs. He knew he was a blessed man to have found her, and he told me often how lucky we all were to have my mom. I agree. You are forever right. We are going to miss my dad very much. Our hearts are aching with the void that his absence leaves. But there is peace and comfort in knowing that his body is out of pain and discomfort that the cancer brought on. So I will cling to that bit of peace when the waves of grief begin to crash. I will do my best to hold tight to the memories at Shoreline Park with his hand in mine, or the joy-soaked childhood memories of his suggestion that Daniel and I go with him to run an errand, but somehow we ended up at Thrifty's and Five Points for ice cream. Pineapple coconut for me, pistachio for him, and Daniel always picked bubblegum. I know the early morning sunrise will forever be a reminder of your smile and your love to get a jump start on the day. The long walks will still be where I meet you and I talk to you about the littlest details to the biggest mountains, that your joy will be found in my girl's laughter, that your legacy will be in your passion of teaching us how to have an impossible dream, larger than life vision, and then setting a goal and turning it into a reality. That fun is always the best option. And Mexican food with a cold margarita is never a bad idea. Pop, thank you for your courage, for your strength, and for loving me, for believing that all things are possible, for taking risks, for creating so many things from nothing, and then teaching me how to do the same, for believing in your instincts and betting on yourself and providing me a blueprint to do the same, for trusting me with the precious things on your heart. I promise I will always take care of Mom, and I will always be there for Daniel. I promise to love my husband and my kids, your grandbabies, and support them the best way I can. I will forever hold our precious memories in my heart and will forever share those stories with my girls. Pop, you are truly one of a kind person, and I'm so thankful that God chose me to be your daughter. I pray that you have a much deserved peace and rest, that Jesus welcomes you with outstretched arms, and that you may be our guardian angel, forever keeping watch. I will also say, I can guarantee that heaven is more fun because you are in it. Thank you for your song request. While you were in the hospital this last time, I'm glad I got to sing to you one last time one of your favorite songs. It will forever be etched in my heart. May your love be present and cover us all today. I want to close with a little bit of that song. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. And yes, Pop, it is a wonderful world, and it is and forever will be a better place because you were in it. Until then, Pop, I love you very much.
Daniel, would you like to come up now?
Six to 8 inches. And they can hear you. Okay. Have to pull it up for 3 inches.
Oh. can't tell you how many performances of Jennifer's that I've been to over the years, and it always still gives me chills. I forgot to warm up my voice, though, so I'll have to skip the solo. So, yes, I'm Daniel. I'm Jack and Susan's son. I'm Jennifer's brother. I'm the favorite child, etc. I wanted to start by saying thank you from our family with the utmost gratitude to everyone who has helped my dad and my mom in the past few weeks and years. Vraja Prana, who was with us on the most difficult of days, Krishna Prana, and everyone else with the temple. All the doctors and nurses who were just absolutely incredible. My fiance, Shauna, my brother-in-law, Justin, Aunt Janie, and all of you, family and friends, everyone who's reached out, those who are here today and those who couldn't be here today, you've each given us an immense amount of support, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I also want to thank all of you for being understanding for all of the last-minute changes we've had in the last few weeks for the service. And part of the reason why that this came together so quickly was because tomorrow would have been my dad's 75th birthday. He always loved to party. And that said, his legal birthday was a different day, month, and year entirely. But Benny the Rules was always pretty fitting for him. I'm sure probably most of you have stories that you could tell for examples of that. But for example, many years ago, we actually took a family trip to Sequoia National Park, and I'll never forget, we saw a little baby bear in the distance, and later on, I think that day or the next, there was a deer or an elk or something that came through the campground, and a normal, sane person would be cautious, but my dad, he wanted to get close to them, to get a good picture or to pet them, I don't know, he never really knew. Another time when my sister was learning to drive, he brought me along, and I was in the back seat. For whatever reason, he thought that it would be a great idea to put me in the driver's seat as a 12-year-old kid. We were faced downhill. The road has a pretty well-defined end to it. So naturally, I floored it. Got up to probably 40 or 50, ignoring whatever yelling was coming from to the side of me and from behind me. But I eventually slammed on the brakes, and we came to a perfect stop. And I don't really remember what happened after that, but I do know that my mom did the in-car training with me when I got my permit a few years later. It's probably unrelated. Dinner conversations with my dad were probably similar to most people. We would have usual topics like, how is your day? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? How do you plan to structure your taxable and tax-deferred investments to best shield your assets? You know, usual conversations for a six-year-old. He also just never let an opportunity go to waste for talking about Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger and what they would do or say. The most important thing to him was that you tried your best. He would always push you outside of your comfort zone to try something new or to make sure that you gave your best effort. And I think that will stick with all of us forever. If you failed, that's okay, but only so long as you tried your best. My dad would beam with pride talking about all of us. My mom, who was always by his side for every party, every business venture, every doctor's appointment, you name it. My sister, with her endless musical talent, entrepreneurial skills, unending patience in raising three incredible daughters, and now a music teacher for the kids' school. Me, full of mediocre jokes at all the wrong times, and working for Google for the last 10 years. But in the same breath, he would always mention how he couldn't wait for the next Apple shareholder meeting. He just can't win them all. My dad's last few years were difficult. He endured a lot of sleepless nights, pain, countless doctor's visits, all of which my mom was by his side for. He and I also had a challenged relationship, and while I struggled for many years to rationalize the side of him that only a few of us saw, I am grateful that we had the last few years, and especially the last 2 weeks with him. While I may never have a true understanding of many of his words or actions, I know that we will both be at peace with each other's forgiveness. I think that if my dad could leave us with some wisdom today, which he always loved imparting wisdom, it might be something along the lines of, be ambitious, believe in yourself, plan for the future, read as many books as you can, enjoy going out and being in nature, be proud of yourself and your loved ones, save room for dessert, and of course, have fun. Thank you for being here with us today, or in spirit, to honor my father. He met many amazing people who helped him accomplish lots of incredible things over the years. And I know that he was very proud of us, and I am very proud of him too. Thank you.
The death of one whom we love is always a great turning point in our life, and we must try to understand it. In the midst of our natural sorrow, we must realize that this is also a spiritual opportunity. It is an opportunity to understand and see more deeply into the true nature of things, and to know what is behind the appearance of tragedy and loss. The surface of the sea rises and sinks alternately, but to the observant soul, each sinking reveals more and more of the depth and the beds of pearl and coral at the bottom. Coming and going is all pure illusion. The soul never comes or goes. Where is the place to which it shall go when all space is in the soul? When shall be the time for entering and departing when all time is in the soul? The earth moves, causing the illusion of the movement of the sun, but the sun does not move. So nature is always moving, changing, lifting veil after veil, turning over leaf after leaf of its great book, while the witnessing soul drinks in knowledge, unmoved and unchanged. All souls that have been, are, or shall be, are all in the present tense. They are all standing, as it were, at one geometrical point. The idea of space does not occur to the soul. Therefore, all that were ours are ours and always will be ours. They are always with us. We are in them. They are in us. The cloud moves across the face of the sun, creating the illusion that the sun is moving. So nature, body, and matter move on, creating the illusion that the soul is moving. Thus it is that the instinct which men of every race have to feel the presence of the departed around them is true intellectually also. Each soul is like a star, and all stars are set in the infinite sky, which is the Lord. In him is the root, the reality, the real individuality of each and all. Religion began with the search for some of those stars that had passed beyond our horizon. It ended with finding all of them in God and ourselves in the same place. Our friend has given up the old garment he was wearing and is now standing where he always was, through all eternity. Will Jack manifest in another such garment, in this or any other world? We sincerely pray that Jack will not until he does so in full consciousness. We pray that none may be dragged anywhere by the unseen power of his past deeds. We pray that we all may be free and have the knowledge of our freedom. And if we are to dream again, let us pray that the dreams may all be of peace and bliss. And now we'll end with the translation of a Vedic chant. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from death to immortality. Lead us from darkness to light. Light us through and through, O Lord, with thy beneficent blessing. Peace, peace, peace be unto us all. Now, as you have heard from Jack's family, he liked to party and food. Well, there is a lot of food across the parking lot, and you're going to have to make the party. Okay? And I would kind of like to share the first time I ever met Jack. What was her name? Who did the... I can't remember. Anyway, the woman who made the movie that was Luda Riggs, who designed this temple, Kumkum, was a good friend of Jack's. So after we had seen the movie and we'd all been down to the film festival in Santa Barbara, Jack and Susan and Kumkum came up to the temple, and I was out there introducing myself, and Jack said, I moved to Santa Barbara just to be near the temple. And I looked at him and I said, but I've never seen you here. And he looked at me and he says, yeah, I got a little distracted for 30 years. And I said, well, what's your name? And he says, Jack, what's your name? And I said, Krishna Prana. And I said, there's something not quite right here. He said, yeah, we should have different names. But that was my first memory of meeting him. But please come down now with the family. We just go across the parking lot, and there's a big open gate. Come through, and we'll have too much food. Okay, as he would have liked. I understand.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved and set